morning, everyone. It is great to see you on this beautiful, sunny day that the Lord has provided for us. Yes, we are grateful for the past several days. It's been good. I know many of you, if not all of us, have been outside and enjoyed the creation and what God has provided for us. And so thankful that you're here today. We've got a great worship service planned for you this morning. God's Spirit is definitely going to be with us here today. And we just look forward to how we have opportunity in any number of ways to worship here today. And so we're glad you're here. For all of our guests that are a part of things today, we hope that you enjoy the service. We hope that you feel welcome. We want you to know that you are always, always welcome to worship here at Settle with us. For those that are online today, we're thankful that you're with us as well. And so let us be prepared to what God's going to do in our midst. As we get prepared to start, I wanted to share a passage of Scripture with you, Psalm 100. We have already been blessed here this morning. The Bluegrass Brothers shared with us our handbell choir, and Psalm 100 talks a lot about making a joyful noise to the Lord. And we have already heard that that joyful noise to the Lord, to celebrate Him and to be excited about what He's going to do here today. So I did want to share these words with you as we are called to worship. Psalm number 100, and this is what it says. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord who made us is God. We are the Lord's. We are the people of God, the sheep of God's pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks and bless God's name. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all the generations. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have today to be together and to be with you. We thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. We thank you, God, that your steadfast love has continued to guide us in life. You have been faithful to us over and over again. And so we pray, Lord, here this morning as we would worship, that we would make a joyful noise back to you and give you the proper thanks that you deserve for how you always provide for us. God, we invite your Holy Spirit to be with us here this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us and that we would hear you loud and clear and gain the courage and the strength that we would need to be your people in your church. So God, we open up here today, and we pray that you would shower your love upon us in a very real and powerful way. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Yeah.
guys. Thank you so much. We'll look forward to hearing from our Bluegrass brothers a little bit later in the service. We have some other special folks that are with us today. Mark and Robin Howard are with us as missionaries to Spain, and they shared with Sunday school classes across the street earlier, and I think Mark and Robin came in this morning. Guys, could you stand for just a second? We want to recognize you. Glad you guys are here today. They have done some great work over in Spain, again, as missionaries, have shared the word and love of Christ with those folks there, and excited to hear about that. I'm excited that we are able to support these folks. We've got a video that we want to share with you now that they're going to share a little bit more about what they're doing there. So if we could share that.
Hello. We would just wanted to take an opportunity to tell you a few of the things that God is doing in this part of the world, in southern Spain. And amongst those things, those of you who have seen our prayer letter will know that we had a huge evangelistic event last October. No, it was the beginning of September. And it was a great success. There were, it's the second time that we've done this now. And there were about 1,500 people in attendance. The gospel was preached in a very clear fashion. About 50 people came to the front for prayer for different reasons. And I personally prayed with four people who said that they wanted to receive Christ. And so we were very encouraged by that. And because of these events that we're doing, the Inspire 2022 and 23, we also were involved in evangelism, a United Evangelism campaign, which was organized by all of the churches in this area. And we tried to go to every single neighborhood of every town in this area here. So every weekend, every Saturday morning, we would get together at whichever church that was closest. We would pray and go out and pass out tracts and also share with people and knock on doors and try to find people who were interested in hearing about Christ. Another thing which you certainly probably know about is the Bible translation work that we've been doing. The New Testament is completed and printed, and we even have a second revised edition which is available on YouVersion. On the internet. And along with that, we're also working on the Old Testament translation. The book of Genesis has been translated and corrected, and also the book of Psalms. And the whole Old Testament is translated, but in rough fashion. So it has to be gone through carefully, book by book, and then tested thoroughly before putting into publication. So we just want to say thank you for your part in all of this, yes. And you are a part of it, and you have been with us for decades now, so thank you very much. May the Lord bless you and give you a wonderful year, 2024.
Mark and Robin, we appreciate you very much in the ministry that you're doing, and we want to continue to support you, and so I'll invite you now. Let's have a prayer for these folks. God, we do thank you so much for the Howards, for the work that they have done for many, many years in Spain. We thank you, Lord, that you have used them to share your love, to share your word with that part of the world. We are grateful, Lord, that we have been able to play a small part in that. We pray that you would continue to enable us to help them and support them in ministry to come. Bless these folks. Give them the strength that they need and the guidance to continue your great work there. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray bread together on our knees. Let us pray bread together.
I always look forward each Sunday for us gathering together in a time of corporate prayer when we join together as one body and we lift up prayer requests to our Lord and know that He is at work. I know individuals, I know families appreciate that so very much that we lift them up and that we are praying for them, not only here this morning, but praying for them throughout the week. We have several prayer requests that I want to lift to your attention here this morning. We need to pray for Mike Crabtree. Mike is on staff here. He is our building guy, and Mike took a fall this past week down some steps and hurt his shoulder. He's doing pretty well. Talked to him again this morning, but he's going to be going through some therapy here in the coming weeks, and we just want to pray that the Lord would bring about healing in his life and give him strength. I lift up these folks in prayer that have all been dealing with illness or recovering from surgery. We pray for Mark West. We lift up Rick Moore. We continue to pray for Mac Griffin. I know Mac is here today. God bless you, Mac. And we also lift up Talmadge Hawker. And we pray for those folks and all that's going on in their lives. We know God is at work there. We also want to be in prayer for two families that are in the process of grieving over the death of a loved one. We want to pray for Tony Golson and his family. Tony's father, Paul, died recently, had that funeral service this past week, and we pray that we pray that God would be with Tony and Emily in the days to come. We also want to be in prayer for Suzanne Anderson and her family. Her father, Frank, died this past week. We pray for Betty. And again, for their family, and lift them up. We know God is at work in their lives. I wanted to give you some information about visitation and about that funeral service. Everything will take place tomorrow, on Monday, at Lewisport United Methodist Church. There will be visitation from 10 a.m. To 2 p.m., and then that service will be at 2 p.m. And that will all be tomorrow at Lewisport United Methodist Church, 10 to 2 p.m. for visitation, and the service will be at 2. I know you'll pray for these folks that we have mentioned. I know you'll be faithful in that. I know that you'll be in prayer for others that remain unspoken here today, those that have not been lifted up. Lots of things going on in our community. But again, God's got some big shoulders, folks. And He is at work, and He is bestowing His love and grace, forgiveness, healing upon so many folks, including us. And so we pray with confidence here today, knowing that God's Spirit is at work. So let's join together in a word of prayer. God, you've heard what's on our hearts and minds here today. Lots of prayer requests that we have lifted to you today. We pray for individuals who continue to recover from illness, from surgery. We pray for the Golson family. We pray for the Great House family. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort them in their time of need. Give them strength in the days to come. Lord, we pray for all unspoken needs here today. We pray for our own needs. Lord, there's not a one of us that doesn't come to service here this morning that doesn't have something going on in our lives that we are dealing with, struggling with. And God, we're thankful that you continue to give us guidance for the road ahead and those challenges, those issues that we face. But God, we also give you thanks for the blessings in life. God, you always provide for us. You always take care of us in the good times, in the bad times. Lord, you are present with us, and we are grateful. God, we know your Holy Spirit is here today because we have witnessed it in music. We have witnessed it in prayer. We will witness it in your message that you have for us and as we prepare to come to this table of Holy Communion. So continue to be at work here today. Touch our hearts. Lead us now in the prayer that you have taught us praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to lift up to you again, as I did a couple Sundays ago. We have an opportunity to serve here in a couple weeks. We will be headed down to Camp Lucon on February 17th. That's a couple Saturdays from now. And we will look forward to spending the day there, working on some things that are in great need there at our camp. Again, many of us have been touched by that ministry over the years. And so if you have some free time on that Saturday, we would invite you to be a part of that great day that we'll have together. Let me also say, once again, I can't say this enough, folks, but I am so thankful and so grateful for how you continue to give and sacrifice for this church. We are enabled to do great ministry, to share your love in so many different ways, whether it's through our missionaries that we support, through it's our music that we hear today. So many opportunities that we have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's because of how you give, and it's because of how you sacrifice. And so I'm grateful for that. So as we prepare for our offering here today, let me remind you that our children will be dismissed for children's worship as we sing the doxology, so keep that in mind. So with all this said, let's invite our ushers to come forward as we take up our morning tithes and his offerings. Thank you.
Father, we just want to thank you for all the blessings that you give us and you have given us. Lord, I want to thank you for my Settle family, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the big heart that they have and the desire that they have to expand the kingdom. Father, use us, use these offerings, Lord, to serve you and to let you know, Father, that we love you and we want those who are lost to know how good of a Father you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. You may be seated. I am going to set my alarm because I know we're busy today. And I told Mark I had a 20-minute sermon. No, it's only 10. All right. So, so it was around 2012 when I was looking to transfer. I was going to junior college and I wanted to transfer. And one of my dreams was always to study out of state. But I thought it was never going to happen. So long story short, I found Asbury here in Kentucky. Once I graduated, I went back. God knows his reasons, and I was blessed because I was able to spend the last year with my dad before he passed away. And then I thought, you know, I felt led by the Spirit to come here. And I've been here since 2017, 6.5 years. However, it was when I was here, my second or third month, when it finally hit me. I live in Kentucky. What? I'm from Los Angeles, California, East LA to be specific, completely different from here. It doesn't even compare to Louisville. And I don't know why, but I was looking around. I was actually in my office, and I was looking around. I would see Mark and the staff pass away, pass by, and I just thought, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? And I later on, I talked to my mom, and I said, Mom, do you know where I'm at? And obviously, she does know, and my sister always, always makes fun of me because my dream, guess, was to live out of state. However, it was also to be, you know, in California, surrounded by people who look like me. It's nothing wrong. God has blessed me here, and I love it. But it just shocks me because I am in a place where the first time that I was here, I told people that I was going to go back to California. This was not the plan. I promise you this was not the plan. When I would hear people say, oh yeah, I also said that I was going to go back home. 10 years after, I'm still here. And I would say in my heart, that's not going to be me. But here I am. The first time that I experienced Kentucky was when I shared my story that I moved from California to here. This nice, sweet lady came up to me and said, bless your heart. And I did not know what that meant. What's your story? When did you accept your call? It could be anything. But do you remember that moment where God said, this is what I want you to do. This is what you're called for. Some of us have tried to run away. And based on the stories that I've heard from most of you, you all knew what you wanted to do. You knew your calling. And that's amazing. Peter was one of the disciples, and he was a fisherman. He used to fish as a career. When Jesus, walking, he saw him, and he said, follow me. And Peter, his comfortable zone, you know, where he was fishing, he dared to leave everything behind to follow the teacher, to follow who was calling him. We read in the Word, and we're going to be celebrating in Easter, that when Jesus, before he was going to be captured and crucified, he went to Peter, his follower, and said, you're going to deny me, you know, 3 times. And Peter was like, no way. I love you, Jesus. I've been following you. I'm not going to do that. Peter was offended. And we all know the story that he did deny Jesus 3 times. We see in movies how Peter was scared when they were asking, do you know this man? Do you know that man over there, which was Jesus? And he got scared, and the first reaction was, no, I don't know him. So what Jesus said that Peter was going to do, Peter did. And so Christ was crucified, and Peter, like some of us could do, when he saw that he was defeated, when he saw that he already denied Christ, and he did not see the promise that Christ had made that he was going to come to life, he went back to his comfortable zone. He went back fishing. And so the scripture that we're going to be reading today, it's going to be from the book of John, chapter 21, verses 15 and 19. And this is where Jesus looked for Peter. And once he found Peter and his disciples, he enjoyed a tasty breakfast. And this is what happened. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you," Jesus said. "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Can you please join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. Open up our hearts and our minds. Lord, this is all about you. We want to grow closer to you, and we want to become more like you, Christ. We love you, and we thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So here we have Jesus Christ with Peter, and he is asking him if he loves him. Now, the beauty of the Bible is we have to, if we pay close attention, we find little Easter eggs, we find little hints. And as I was saying earlier, Peter denied Jesus three times. And we find here that Jesus, in a loving way, in a very unique way, he confronted Peter, and instead of saying, "Do you remember that one time you denied me? Okay, do you remember that second time that you denied me? Do you remember that third time you denied me?" No. He asked him, "Do you love me?" He said, "I know that what you've done. I told you that you were going to do that. I know. But I know that you love me." Sometimes in life, we do tend to make mistakes. And this is not to shame us, and this is not to show how weak of and flawed people we are. But when we do mistakes, and sometimes mistakes that have to do with our spiritual life, we feel that we are hurting Jesus. So what we do is we know that we love him, but we start to distance ourselves little by little. Because how can I, someone who just had sinned, someone who did something that I know it's not good and it does not please the Father, can love him? That is what the deceiver does. He whispers in your ears and says, "Do you really love him?" "No, you don't. You're not a follower of Christ. Continue to do what you're doing." And the goal is to separate you from those around you, from your brothers and sisters in Christ, from those who love you, for you to be alone and for you to push God away and not have him in your life. But the beautiful thing about Jesus is the number three. Peter, I don't know if maybe this is, I don't know if this is true, but I'm going to think Peter probably hates the number three. The three times that he did not said that he knew Jesus. And every time, I want to say, when he heard a rooster crow, he probably just shook and said, "Oh, I'm not a good Christian. I'm not a good Christ follower. I denied my master." But Jesus, instead, again, of shaming him, he asked him, "Do you love me?" Because Jesus knew that Peter loved him. And Peter said, "Yes, yes, yes." Those three things that used to shame Peter, those three denials that Peter did that used to make him feel that he was not good enough to serve, that he was not good enough to follow his calling, will now be remembered as an affirmation of how much he loved Christ. See, whatever we do, we're messy sometimes. And we create a mess and we just see we've done it again. I'm done. There's no way that I could continue with this calling. Maybe I could go on and do what I want to do. But Jesus is so incredible that he knows how to turn trash into treasure. That very one thing that's heavy on you, that very one thing that even if it happened 30, 35 years ago, but it still follows you, give it to Jesus. Surrender it to him, and you're going to be surprised how he turns that weakness and uses it for his glory. He is the God of second chances. That does not mean that what you did is going to go away. That does not mean that all of a sudden what you did didn't happen. One thing that I don't know if you have heard of CR, Celebrate Recovery. And it's people who are admitting their weaknesses, who have struggled, not only with substances, but with trauma and all those things that they just want to grow and they want to better themselves. And I am so amazed the times that I've been there, how joyful they are. And they share their testimony. And their testimony is, for me, as a growing up as a Christian, but yet having a story of my own, I'm amazed what God can do, the transformation. And they just share it. They share what they have done, sometimes with details, sometimes with no details. But what they're doing, for some people, can be, what are you doing? What? Why are you sharing that? You should be ashamed of yourself. Those people, what they're doing is they have scars, and we all have scars from our mistakes. What they're doing, though, instead of seeing that scar and feeling embarrassed, just like Peter, embarrassed that he denied Christ, instead of feeling ashamed, instead of seeing that they can't go on, it's too late for them, Christ turned it around. And those people, my brothers and sisters in recovery, what they are doing is they're showing what Christ can do. The scars are not to shame them. The scars are to show everybody what Christ can do. Do you love me? That's another thing that Jesus asked him when he was asking him, when he did it three times, the question was, do you love me? So I'm a little bit proud of myself because I go to Asbury, and that's a seminary, and one thing that they teach us is how to study within the original language. So love, how Jesus used love, he said, do you love me? He meant agape, which is divine love. But the way that Peter responded, it was with filio, which is brotherly love. And no, Christ insisted, agape, do you love me? Agape, do you love me? See, the thing is, Christ does want you to love him. Christ does want you to walk, let him walk by your side and let him lead you. Yes, he does, but he also wants your love. He also wants to be your Lord, your Father. He wants this intimate relationship with you. So he knows what Peter has done, but he says, I am your Lord. I don't want your minimal love, because probably Peter thought, this is the only love that I can give because I've shown him otherwise. I've shown him that I have shortcomings. This is what I can offer. But God is saying, no, this is not all that you can offer. Love me with all your heart. I'm not mad at you. Jesus does correct us, of course, but that does not stop from loving us with all his heart, with everything. The last thing is we see, and we read that when Jesus went to Peter, he knew where to find him. And he found him in the original place where he found him the first time. Peter saw everything that was done, the failure that he was, he went back. Sometimes, as we are following our calling, as we are doing what we feel led to do, we fail, and then we just say, well, I'm just going to go back to what I'm good at. And that is a thing that could separate us from the Lord. However, that does not mean that he stops loving us, and that does not mean that he does not know where to find us. And when I mean we all go to our comfort place from where we started our spiritual life, we start our spiritual life here. We are babies and we continue. And then there's a halt. So then we go back. That does not mean physical. It means inner, your spirit. Have you felt so passionate about the Lord? But you say that one bad word, or you get mad while you're driving, or you curse when your favorite team loses, and then you think, what a Christian I am. And then you start little by little going back. One thing, the sermons, and I'm not saying it because he's here, the sermons have been on point. I don't know if you can relate to that, but goodness gracious. From pastor to a congregant I became. I needed that. And one thing that he said, and that I still remember, is that God does not care what you do. God does not care what sin you're doing. He cares why you're doing it. Why do you feel that you can run away from him? Why do you feel that he cannot heal you? Why do you feel that he cannot forgive you? No matter how big, no matter how small. He forgives you. And I say all this to say, or to remind you, you are where you are supposed to be. God has given you that calling. Whatever you have doubted, maybe yesterday, maybe the last couple of months, let me tell you, you are doing his will. You might stumble. You might not do it perfectly. But listen to his guidance. Listen to him saying to you, follow me. We could all serve God in many ways. It does not need to be behind a pulpit. It does not need to be preaching. If Jesus has sent you, I heard a story my first week. I asked this young lady what she was doing and when did she find out that she wanted to do that. And she said, I always knew that I wanted to be a teacher. I just knew. She had this experience, and many could see this experience as just a regular time in life, but she saw it as the light. God, Jesus opened her eyes, and that's when she knew that she was called. Whatever you're doing, you could be a doctor, you could be a dentist, you could be a teacher, you could even be a parent. Jesus wants you to serve him in that way. We're called to serve him. We are called to do his will. What he is calling us to do is to make disciples of others. Wherever you're at, maybe not with words, but with actions. Ignore what you've done in the past. Jesus has already forgiven you. If you go and seek for his forgiveness, it's done. So when you feel called to approach an individual, when you feel called to do something when nobody's going to find out, when you feel called, you do it. I don't know who is being called and who is denying their calling. I don't know who's running from their calling. I don't know who is currently in their calling, but questioning it. If you are in your calling and you know that you're in your calling and that everything's good, yay for you. But I know that we all struggle. And sometimes it is hard to admit and to say, Jesus, I cannot do this. I am done doing this. I am here to tell you, if Jesus called you, you're meant to be there. Your weaknesses, Jesus will use them to be your strengths. You are seen, and you are loved, and you are cared for. Do not let the lies of the enemy say that you're not good enough. And some of us have been walking with Christ a long, long time. But it's a good reminder. You are called. Follow Jesus. He'll be with you. Can you please join me in prayer? Lord, I want to thank you that you are the God of second chances. I want to thank you, Lord, that regardless of what we have done in the past, you have called us to do something. And what you started, you will finish it. Lord, we don't know where else to go when we're desperate. We go to you. You are the only answer in our lives. I pray for my brothers and sisters here today, Lord. Whoever is struggling, whoever has something heavy, that's hindering them from serving you, from following their call. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you gently tug their heart and let them know that if they bring it to you, Jesus, all will be well. You know that they love you, and you love them too. You love us too. Thank you, Father. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.
One of the things that I love about Cindy is she is very authentic, and she loves Jesus, and I know you know that. She is very clear with that every time we hear from her, and I think that was a great challenge for us today to hear. I think we are called in any number of ways to serve the Lord. We are now called to come to this table, and as you come here this morning, you have an opportunity to leave whatever it is that's burdening you, whatever it is that's holding you back, you leave it here, and you go forth with new life in Christ. So hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let's join together in our prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Let's continue now with the prayer of the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Well, you have heard the invitation to come to this table. Let me remind you that you do not need to be a member of this church or a member of our United Methodist denomination. We celebrate open communion here today. All are welcome to come, and I hope you will. As you do, let's keep a few things in mind. You are welcome to leave any monies here at the communion rail to be used for our Good Samaritan Fund to help those who are in need throughout the community. As you come forward, the ushers will guide us to this table. We ask you to spread out, and then myself and Jim and other servers will come by and serve you here today. Let's not rush through this. We want to use this as a time to be before our Lord and to celebrate all that He is doing in our lives, to consider what our calling is, not just as individuals, but our calling as a church. And once again, as we come forward, let's leave our burdens right here and go forth as new persons. We are again grateful to have been here today. We're thankful for your Spirit that has been at work in each of our lives and our hearts. We've been grateful, Lord, that we have been able to come to this table, that you have called us here today. As we prepare to go forth, Lord, help us to leave all of those burdens behind and help us to focus on new life that we have in your Son, Jesus. Bless us and use us to be the people and the church that you have called us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.